of any note, any value. If I just wanted to get on with my phone, it's so easy, but I had a few things that I had to get to, and I wanted to be able to spend a few moments on a Saturday afternoon, because I've been meaning to get this training out. I feel like there's trainings that, I don't care what you say, they are going to cost. And there are other trainings that I've gotten paid for that I've recognized that I want to be able to give away at my discretion for free. So today happens to be one of those days. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Saturday afternoon. And it is your friend CL King coming to you in my non-podcast host capacity. Thank God. You know, some days I'm just like, I feel like I'm a radio DJ all the time. And I'm not. I mean, what I am is nothing really. I just try to be a human being, trying to help humanity. And I've recognized that with all the things going on, and we're shifting back in some capacities to, you know, our pre-COVID statuses, and we're experiencing some normalcy. I want to make sure that I don't, that people, and even including myself, don't slip back into maybe some of the bad habits that we had prior to COVID. You know, I told a friend of mine in a group this, that 100 years from now, 200 years from now, we're going to be judged pretty aggressively by 2020. I feel like we're going to be judged pretty harshly by 2020, because, you know, folks like my friend Dr. Nate Dunlap, who leads a national movement in financial preparedness, he probably wasn't shaken or moved by COVID-19 coming on the horizon. But there were others that were absolutely, their whole worlds were up, you know, turned upside down because of preparedness. And so we as content creators have to continue to try to sound the alarm that, man, just because we are getting back to what we know is normal doesn't mean that life is anything normal anymore. And we got to put benchmarks, and we got to put beacons in place to where when the next crises come, we are better prepared for them. So I wanted to teach just a little bit, because my expertise is not necessarily financial preparedness, even though I got my finances in order. I wanted to teach on leadership. That's one of the topics that I love to teach on, because I've watched leadership happen in so many different dynamics and so many different environments, whether it be military, government, commercial, religious, whatever environment you could think of. I've watched leadership unfold, and I've watched leadership thrive in those environments, and I've also watched leadership falter. And so some time ago, I created a training that I've given. Now I'm going to try to put something new in it so that it's still fresh. But I created a training that's called Lead Like a Chicken. And I'm not sharing the slides with you, because if you wanted the whole package, then you have to pay for it. So I'm giving you the free version, and the free version is just me. So when we talk about leadership like a chicken, a lot of people are like, okay, so are you saying lead out of fear? Are you saying instill fear into people? Are you referencing the chicken as an emotion? And I'm like, no, I want you to think of the lead like a chicken concept as an entity. Okay. If you're going to be a leader, I'm going to give you a few tips this afternoon on Saturday, the 26th. Happy birthday to my great brother and friend, Francis Murray. I'm giving you several tips to lead like a chicken, but not like the animal. Okay. I want you to, number one, start small, seek feedback, and perfect your craft. All right. I'm getting right into it. Start small, seek feedback, and perfect your craft. All right. If you out here and you think you're going to be internationally famous and global overnight, you're wrong. It will never happen that way unless you do something odd on TikTok, like sing songs of the 80s to music that's not yours, and then roll your eyes and get people falling all over themselves. that unless you do something strange on TikTok that gets you famous for a momentary period of time, I want you to start small. Start, you know, some people feel like, well, I don't have what they have. I don't have the house they have. I don't have whatever. Start small. Seek feedback and perfect your craft. I speak often, even when it's not paid events, or even when it's not in front of a public audience or a crowd or whatever. I started perfecting my craft at 15, 16 years old when I started speaking in church and communities and other things like that. Man, you've got to perfect your craft, and you got to keep that craft sharp. So if you're a leader and you're a leader of people, people are expecting you to know your craft. And so I want you to think about, you know, when you're on this journey, this is a journey to leadership. I'm not talking about folks that are already CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. I'm talking about people that are trying to attain a leadership position, whether that be in your church, whether it be in your community center, whether it be at your work, whether it be in your federal education, whatever. Start small. Seek feedback and perfect your craft. You know, my craft in the speaking business, people think I just show up and I'm just gifted with oratory. Well, you know, I just want you to know that when I'm scheduled to speak at an event, I've usually prepared months in advance for that one event. I'm always layered on top of each other. I'm studying all different types of things because of the various events I have to speak for. And even though I've spoken to almost over 400,000 people, I still have to perfect my craft. And I still seek feedback. I get feedback from my family, from my wife, you know, from those around me and those that listen. I watch what people say about what I've said. And so you got to seek feedback. Feedback is important. Here's another thing. Point number two, I'm training you how to lead like a chicken, to be innovative and seize opportunity. Okay, to be innovative and seize opportunity. Some organizations, because of COVID-19, have taken on a posture that gave them success. Well, now that we're seeing some of the restrictions relaxed, they want to go back to the model before that wasn't working. They want to go back to the uninnovative model that wasn't working, that wasn't successful. When you found a way to pivot and you were able to excel at what you were doing, that's called innovation, you know, coming up with something new and fresh, a new approach, a new perspective. Man, you can still have the same product, but just the way you distribute it, just the way you market it, just the way you sell it. And then seize opportunities. You know, there are some, and I guess COVID will always be in the backdrop for us, for our generation, until we die. But you know, some people during COVID, their businesses faltered. Their podcasts, their shows, their book writing, whatever it was, it all floundered because they didn't know how to navigate through this digital and virtual world. They were not innovative. Are you following what I'm saying? And so, but there were others who seized the opportunity of, you know, Zoom going from 30 million to 300 million in revenue, or 10 million to 300 million in revenue, because people were consuming content. And so you got to seize that opportunity. You got to be able to have yourself positioned that, man, you know what you need to do? You need to pandemic proof what you're doing as a leader. Now, here's what I want you to also understand. If you're going to be a leader, then those that follow you are considered your customers, believe it or not. You know, sometimes organizations feel like, you know, the customers are only the people that pull through the drive-thru. But also, as the leader, those people that work under you or work for you or work with you, however you have tailored that conversation, those people are your customers as well. And so you need to create an enjoyable customer experience all the way around, from the people that walk in your front doors to the people that mop your floors to the folks that run your analysis. This has to be an enjoyable experience. So leadership, those that are in leadership, if you're going to lead like a chicken, then you create an experience in your leadership. You following me? You create a holistic experience where it's not just you at the top being the high hog at the trough, but you create an experience. and it's enjoyable to all of those that are your customers. You know, in my leadership capacity and the roles that I hold across the country and around the world, whether it's people working on my team or working under me or whatever, those are all my customers. Next, as a leader, I'm giving this to you quick, brother. This is rapid fire today. Next, as a leader, you need to empower and support those that are employed with you. Empower and support your employees. See, what we oftentimes find is that decisions and final decisions and recommendations and all that has to go through the leadership chain. And, you know, that's fine. I believe in the chain of leadership. I believe in the chain of command, a former military guy. I believe in that. But I also understand that the chain is only as strong as what? Its weakest link. And so if you're not empowering those in your chain to make decisions, to have freedom, to not be afraid to decide to make a decision, then your strength of your organization and the strength of your chain is only going to be as strong as that weakest person. You got to empower them. You got to not be intimidated by folks that are excelling. Man, I got folks on my team, man, that are way smarter than me. I'm just like, yo, go for it. Get it. Have at it. Make decisions, man. I don't have to be a part of it. If it ain't bankrupting the company, go for it. Let's make it happen. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, when you create that type of environment, when you create that type of understanding that, hey, look, man, you're not powerless in this organization. I want you to know that you are empowered. When you empower people, boy, that is powerful. Number five, I want you to create a culture as a leader. If you're going to lead like a chicken, create a culture that engages people. Culture is what people are known for. The last time culture was about an individual was Adam and Eve. Did y'all know that? The last time culture was ever about an individual was Adam and Eve. Then God said, cultures are never about an individual again. The last time cultures were about a singular person or a singular individual was Adam and Eve. And then from there on, it became cultures represented more than one or two people. And so what you got to do is create a culture that engages those people. Man, I can't, you know, for me, I'm a part of various groups that I associate with and I contribute my expertise to them. But man, if I'm in a group and there's not a culture of engagement, I'm out, man. I don't need to be a part of a group just for status for me. I don't need any more status or any more proximity or prestige. I want to be engaged and I want to be engaging. So, you know, the culture of an organization, if you're going to be a leader, you need to create a culture that engages the people. If you have a culture that only engages processes, if you have a culture that only engages metrics, if you have a culture that only seeks the bottom line, if you have a culture that only looks at the red line items, you know what your people are? They're just looking and waiting for the next opportunity to get out of your organization. I'm teaching just a small little lesson today entitled Lead Like a Chicken. If you don't create a culture that causes people to say, this is my job. If you don't create a culture in your church that says, this is my church, the success or failure of this church belongs to me. The success and failure of this organization is mine. If you have not created that type of culture in your organization, in your group, in your civic club, whatever, if you've not created that type of organization, that type of culture, then all you've done is got a bunch of people punching the clock, waiting for the next opportunity to promote out of your leadership. Man, I was working in an organization one time where a promotion came up. And I resisted the promotion because I loved working where I was at. I loved the culture. I'm like, you know what? Be careful what you ask for when you ask for a pay raise and a promotion. I said, man, I love where I'm doing. The people will treat me so well. We got such synergy. Why would I want to go somewhere else and mess all this up? And I turned down that promotion. I really did. I certainly did. And it was for a substantial amount of more money. But when you create a culture of engagement, man, folks feel like they're empowered. They feel like they're a part of the process. You know, as a Lean Six Sigma Greenbelt, when I used to run projects for the government, one of the things that frustrated me was that we'd do all these value stream maps and put stickers everywhere, and we would be the brains on brass upstairs in the nice air-conditioned office, and then we'd come downstairs and with our final product, with our toll gates, and say, hey, guys, this is what you're going to do on the floor. And those folks didn't even get asked. They didn't even get questioned. You know, we told them how to tape stuff down on the floor and how to move their processes and their flows and stop the spaghetti diagrams and get people flowing. And we never asked the guy turning the wrench on the floor what he thought. What a culture where it just says, hey, man, from the top down, you're getting your orders from on high. And then the rest of y'all just enact them. Man, I can't get with leadership like that. It's a culture that engages people, man. I want to hear what you say, even if I don't agree with it. You know, there's a couple different things that people have to be mindful of. There are people that are disagreeable just for the sake of being disagreeable, right? They don't want to agree with you just because they don't like you, and they're not going to believe in nothing you say. People have worked for me in that particular capacity, and I've just smiled at them and gave them a praise the Lord wave. They didn't agree with nothing I said, and I wasn't going to convince them otherwise. But then there are others that just are inquisitive, that have curiosity, that are traveling down the road with you, but they're seeing other caverns and other labyrinths of travel that they could get into, and they bring it up to you, and it's like you become intimidated because you're not allowing them to engage. Boy, Danny, you know I should charge for this one, brother. And so when I'm talking about leading like a chicken, the fifth element is create a culture that engages people. Engage them. Number six, define your values and stick to them. Listen, what's got to happen in an organization that's 105 stories tall? The CEO sitting up in the palatial office has got to make sure that the values of the organization are down to the janitor changing out the paper towels in the bottom lobby bathroom. Define your values and stick to them. Okay, don't be swayed by every wind. And, you know, the Bible talks about the wind of doctrine, but don't be swayed by every wind of change that comes. You've got to stick to your values as an organization. That don't mean you be ugly. That don't mean you belittle people. But I believe that organizations can be ran through the value system that flows horizontal and vertical. Next, number seven. Focus on people and community building. Man, one of the things that I see that organizations fail at and falter and flounder with is that they just have people working processes. Okay, come in, work your report, give a report at the end of the week, give us the analysis, boom. All right? But they don't focus on community building. Nobody does anything outside of the office. Nobody even likes to be there. You know what? Some organizations say, well, we pay you $25 an hour. You should be glad to be here. That's it. And you know what those folks are doing? Those folks are looking for a way to get themselves out of your organization because you're not really focused on the people of the organization. You're just focused on the execution of the organization. Now, let's get this clear. Okay, when I worked for the warfighter, it was warfighter first. Man, the mission of the warfighter is first. There's absolutely no question. You won't get no argument out of me with the Marine Corps when I was in the Marine Corps back in the days. But now when the other component of that was people, you know, people were a part of the equation. You couldn't forget that people helped get the warfighter moving forward. You couldn't forget that people helped get the warfighter parts. You can forget that people were actually on the ground as the warfighter. It wasn't some ethereal concept. It was actually people. And so one thing that we've got to do if we're going to lead like a chicken is we've got to focus on people and community building. Man, I remember starting with the government years and years ago, and one of the things that I loved about them, the team that was working with me, these were all guys that were trained. These were the Vietnam era people who were trained by the World War II folks. One of the things that I loved about them is that, man, we got together outside of the office. We hung out many, many times outside of the office, outside of the sterile confines of the building. And it was like we were a community that was far more, you know, it was greater than just the sum total of our efforts to put in on a spreadsheet. And, you know, a lot of cerebral leaders don't believe in that. Well, you're going to cross the line. You're going to cross the boundaries. Nobody's going to respect you if you don't keep your position and blah, 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 blah. Listen, an organization that focuses on people and community is an organization that's thriving. Lastly, it comes down to the business model. What's your business model as a leader? Understand it and recognize it. Okay. Now, when I say lead like a chicken, I'm talking, this is not a political this is not a political training at all. I've created this training a long time ago. So whatever this organization has in the political realm, that's not my drumbeat. My drumbeat is how they execute and looking at the granular levels of what they do in their organization. Chick-fil-A, it has the ability to do all of the above, and it's directly tied to the unique business model of this chain. So understand your business model. It's directly tied to the unique business. For starters, Chick-fil-A only accepts, ladies and gentlemen, 70 to 80 out of 20,000 applicants who apply per year to operate their franchise, making the company one of the most selective chains in the industry. Y'all hear me? This is why I'm telling you to lead like a chicken, because Chick-fil-A allows 70 to 80 folks in their group to be leaders out of 20,000 that request it every year. Operators don't own or receive any equity in the business and can only open in one or two locations. There's several anomalies on that where there's a couple that's three. In fact, in my town of Jacksonville, there's an owner that owns three, but that's a rarity that an operator or owner can own three Chick-fil-A's. Here's another thing. It's less expensive to open a Chick-fil-A restaurant than most any other chain. Did y'all know that? With the company charging franchisees only $10,000 to do so. So they said, you know, we love our business model so much, we're kind of selective in who we choose to lead, but we want to make it doable for you. This means that the company is extremely choosy about who runs their restaurants, and the chain maintains a strict control over product quality. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? When you go to Chick-fil-A on the west side of town and you go to the Chick-fil-A on the east side of town, that food gonna taste about the same. You could blindfold yourself and you wouldn't know which side of town you were on. The company also shifts and gives bigger stores than them more responsibilities. In other words, they give strong performing franchises more responsibility. Chick-fil-A has tapped into something. They said, listen, we are going, all the things that I told you in terms of starting small, being innovative, empower your people, create a culture that engages folks, define your values, focus on people. It all comes down to the business model. This is all from Chick-fil-A. It is all from the chicken joint, y'all. All of this has helped Chick-fil-A be propelled to the fast food chains. It's one of the fastest growing fast food chains. And watch what it says. With each location earning roughly $4.4 million in sales annually. By comparison, Mickey D's, who's been around longer, generates about $2.5 million per restaurant. And KFC is $1.1 million. Now, there's some other things that you can look at on the outside. Why lead like a chicken? Because when you show up to Chick-fil-A, everyone is speaking the same language. Now, some people will say, well, that's brainwashed. No, that's culture. See, there's a difference between brainwashing and culture. Brainwashing says you can't, you're not allowed to make decisions outside of the entity, and if you do, then you're wrong and you'll be banished. No, but with inside the entity, this is the culture that we all have adopted. That no matter where you go in the world, in Chick-fil-A, when you say thank you, they say my pleasure. I watched it. I videoed it. Y'all can look on my live page. I'm just teaching y'all how to lead like a chicken. If you can tap into some of the things that they've done in their franchise, maybe you could excel and propel your organization to a different level. I went and I watched during the pandemic, during a rainstorm, I went to Chick-fil-A. As I went to Chick-fil-A, I passed another competitor on the way. That was not too far from them. Their parking lot was empty. When I went to Chick-fil-A in the middle of a rainstorm, the line was wrapped 2.5 times around the building. The line was wrapped 2.5 times around the building in the middle of a pandemic and in the midst of a rainstorm. So when I went in and I talked to the young person that was taking my order with their iPad, it was as if it was sunny and 85. That's the way they approached me. It was a culture. They didn't let me know that they were ticked off for $9 an hour, $8.75 an hour. They didn't let me know that they was twisted, that they had to be out there in the rain. They didn't let me know that they were tired of all these people in the line. You know, they said, "Welcome to Chick-fil-A. How can I help you? How can I serve you today?" And you know what? I said, "You know what? I'm more willing to spend an extra $7 to come to y'all establishment merely by the way you make me feel." So think about that with your church, man. Think about that with your church organization. If people come into your house, in your house of worship, and they're not greeted, they're not doted on, they're not cared about, nobody goes to sit with them, no one acknowledges them, no one makes them feel like they want them to come back, and all you do is go through your religious exercises, then when they leave out of that door, they're going to feel like they were at McDonald's, and they're going to go find themselves a Chick-fil-A. You got to lead like a chicken. You see what I'm saying? These folks have taken a concept that says, listen, in the culture of the Chick-fil-A organization, it's about others. In the culture of the Chick-fil-A organization, it's about those people that pull into that parking lot. And it's also about you. They treat their employees like their customers, and they treat their customers like their customers. That's why the culture is so infectious. Like, you go there and you just feel like you want to leave a tip. You know, what is it that can cause a restaurant in the middle of a rainstorm that is, you know, 20% higher than its competitor next door to have the line wrapped 2.5 times around the building, and yet the competitor has the parking lot totally empty with no one there? They've had to lay people off. They've had to automate their processes. There's no kiosks in Chick-fil-A because they need people. They need bodies, and they hire them, and they bring them into the culture of customer service. The leadership model of a chicken is, when you're talking about looking like that chicken model, you recognize that we all got a little bit of something to learn, don't we? Well, I give this training a lot to churches, because churches have a tendency to think inwardly. You know what I'm saying? They think inwardly. They think, okay, only when someone comes through our door do they matter. But then the moment they leave out of our door, they don't matter. And then you only got a small percentage of people that are skilled to deal with those folks that enter into the door. You don't see the body or the congregation making this person feel welcome into the hive. They're an outsider. They're an intruder. But Chick-fil-A, when you come there, they make you feel like there's no one else in the stratosphere. There's no one else around but you. That's leadership like a chicken. And what I wanted to give you today is those simple principles, man. Just a quick recap. Start small, seek feedback, and perfect your craft. Be innovative and seize the opportunity. Create an enjoyable customer experience, empower and support your employees, create a culture that engages people, define your values and stick to them, focus on people and community, building those people in that community, and also understanding your business model. So, man, I can go to a competing restaurant across town and I can get a particular input and engagement. I can go to the same restaurant across the other side of town and get a totally different experience. But it don't matter if I go to a Chick-fil-A in Russia, Yugoslavia, El Salvador, or Havelock, North Carolina. My experience is always the same. That's culture, ladies and gentlemen. That's culture. All right, that's it from your friend CL King. Just a Saturday afternoon quick training on leading like a chicken. I hope that something I said can help you along your journey as a leader of an organization, a leader of a civic or group, a leader of a church, a leader of a business. You got to think about it. Your most precious commodity, even though you may produce goods and services, your most precious commodity are the people that help you in your mission. All right, God bless you. Have a great day.